Up at 9:35, Mickey and the Ranch report to talk about the Cowboys and Chiefs and give you our predictions. It's time now for a very festive holiday edition of Gordo's Corner, brought to us festive. By CTX Mortgage and Man's Best Friend.
Thank you so much, Junior. I got this in my inbox in what I call Curiel. I think you in America call it email. Somebody sent this and said one of your high school classmates, Gordon, has given his assertion of you. Said, although sometimes entertaining, Gordon was definitely a flake. I had him in health class when we studied sex ed. Seeing graphic depictions of VD ravaged privates was too much for him to handle, and he kept getting sent out into the hall. If I recall correctly, he was also suspended from giving the announcements over the school-wide intercom. He made an ill-advised joke comparing a woman's attempt to grape a man to someone trying to jam a marshmallow into a piggy bank slot. I have to admit, I don't remember any of that, but I notoriously don't remember my own antics back there in high school. There's no telling what stories some people have about me.
You know, that's
in
funny.
High school.
I was also suspended from using the intercom. I used to get on the school PA. My last period, my senior year, was my free period. So when I didn't just go home, even though I wasn't supposed to, I would stay there and I'd do the announcements. And mm-hmm. I would always put in something ridiculous, and eventually the faculty caught on and I was banned.
Yeah, because I did the announcements for a few weeks, and I always tricked them up. And I remember I also imitated we had a principal that was a whistle talker. And I used to do the whistle talker on this station, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. Well, it was based on this principal that I had named Mr. Todd. He'd come on the intercom and
sophomores and seniors report to the pep assembly and soon after second period.
And it was just funny. He had this whistle. And we were doing that, and that did not go over well with the front office, imitating him. And I would trick up the announcements. And I remember getting in trouble and getting pulled off the announcements. I don't remember that particular joke. I can't imagine myself. Well, you know what? I can't imagine myself saying that highly offensive word on announcements. Mm-hmm. Back then, I just really didn't care. So, yeah. And I have people, you know, when I run into old high school classmates or something, and say, man, you remember this time that you did so-and-so, and I have totally forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares me. It's like I had a whole personality that I've blocked out.
That is scary.
I'm going insane. Help me. All right, now, one of us is going to die pretty soon. Probably George. I mean, that's chances are. And we got to talk about this because our buddy Glenn Mitchell from KERA died recently. And suddenly, at the age of 55, he died in his sleep. And so I went to the funeral service and everything, and it got me to thinking about, you know, how strange is that? I never would imagine I'd sit here and be at Glenn Mitchell's funeral service so young, so early in life. So I got to thinking, what happens when somebody from the ticket dies? Who will be the first at the ticket to die? What kind of service will it be? Then I got to laughing, thinking about, boy, the ticket will try to capitalize on it and sell the thing because they're such sales whores up here.
No doubt they will.
And we started laughing about what the ticket would do. Well, a P1 sent in some liners, and I thought they were so funny, I wanted to try them out with our voice of the station, Conrad, just to see what they would kind of sound like. And this is probably not too far off from what you will hear when somebody, maybe one person, maybe multiple people, dies up here at the ticket. Let's take a listen to the first one.
The Rant will be remembered live at the Paris Bookstore on Harry Hines Boulevard this Saturday from 10 till noon. The tattered, bloody remains of these broadcast legends will be strewn haphazardly across the store parking lot in accordance with their final wishes. Pick up the new Coors Light Guy's Guide to Greatness and register to win a commemorative body tarp and a ticket t-shirt. That's The Rant, 10 to 1 Saturday from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Boy, that you can hear that happening.
I know it. I don't know that will be according to our final wishes.
Oh, I think it would be.
No. All right, let's take... How about, like I said, George Dunham, the most likely to die on this program. So let's take a listen at what you may hear upon the death of George Dunham here on The Ticket.
George Jub Jub Dunham will be at Colonial Bank in Coppell next Saturday from 1 till 4. Stop by and pick up your own piggy bank filled with the greasy, powdered remains of the original Jubinator. Golf passes, bottle openers, and free Chipotle for all. That's filthy dead George Dunham at Colonial Bank next Saturday, 1 till 4, from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Boy, they have sold the hell out of these
things. I know it. They even have you on appearance after you're dead.
Right.
And all right, so let's take a listen. You know what? I say George Dunham may be the first to die on the show, but we're forgetting about the very unhealthy Dick Hicks.
Right.
Longtime smoker. He has that belly that just looks like he swallowed four medicine balls.
Never good news.
Well, let's take a listen. What happens? What would it sound like when Dick Hicks dies?
The Rich Phillips Redneck Cadaver Tour is trucking through every FM Macaroni Grill in the Metroplex. Catch the magic this Sunday at their Northwest Highway location in Dallas from noon till 4. TMS passes and free skull will be given away to the first 100 fans. That's Dick Hicks at Romano's Macaroni Grill this Sunday afternoon 12 till 4 from Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Not too far off, because he's always talking about Macaroni Grill.
It's nice that they keep the endorsement that they were doing before their death.
Yeah,
they
Georgia Colonial Bank.
It's almost like they have to fulfill some sort of contract.
Well, they're already sold. And we did mention these are untimely deaths.
Right.
All right, what about Junior Miller, our health nut?
Well,
what would that sound like?
Plano Cycling and Fitness tomorrow from 3 till 5. A sneeze guard will be placed over the open casket to protect the viewing public from Junior's screaming double AIDS. After the service, follow the motorcade down to White Rock Lake, where Craig's defroated body will be given a proper Viking funeral. From the station that couldn't care less, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
See, there's still real attitude with it. And
couldn't care less.
Oh, there's some bubbles there. There's your Viking funeral.
They even had the Napoleon Dynamite defroated reference.
I know it. I know it. And finally, what about our good buddies in the afternoon, the Hardline?
God forbid.
God forbid.
Pay your last respects to the Hardline at Texas Land and Cattle in Arlington next Friday from 3 till 7. See Ticket Chicks Claudia and Kimberly and get your photo taken next to Ryan's Chalk Outline. Be one of the first 100 to sign the guest book and receive ticket funeral t-shirts and Rangers tickets. 6 to 60, blind, crippled, or crazy. No reasonable mourner will be refused. That's the Hardline at Texas Land and Cattle, Friday 3 till 7 from Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Oh, gosh.
I like still the real upbeat music in the
background. It's still upbeat, still happening. You know, the ticket hasn't stopped down and gotten maudlin and are morbid about it.
No.
Oh, those are funny. I think it was Steven that sent those in. I can't remember.
Genius.
Those are funny. And save those in the encode, Jer, because those will be used probably sometime
soon. The Hardline's going to die together.
Yeah, that was odd. And Ryan...
As is the rant.
Sounds like Ryan's is going to have a chalk outline. Always denoting something went terribly wrong.
Yeah, the rant's dying together, too.
Well, don't worry about that one. That one was a mistake. You misfired that one, Jared.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
Huh.
Hey, can I give everybody a little health tip while we're on the subject of dying?
Sure, since I've complained about chest pains today.
Yeah. Just recently, I started taking my blood pressure. And my mother had high blood pressure, so it's hereditary. But I always assumed that since I exercised so much and was underweight, that I was the last candidate possible for high blood pressure. Well, I sat down in Kroger one day. They've got those free blood pressure machines, and I took it, and it was...
I stick my thing in that.
And you get arrested, and they
press the button a bunch of times. Oh, yeah.
Well, I took it, and it was still in the normal range, but it was high. It was high normal, and it was close to the first stages of hypertension.
See, mine's hilarious.
And that shocked me because I figured mine would be normal or well below normal or just that I'd have no problem with it. 39 years old, I figured I wouldn't, you know, cross that bridge until 50 or 60, eating whatever I want to. So I went and bought a home blood pressure kit, and now I take it every day, and I'm monitoring it, and I've cut back some of the salty foods in my diet, and it's starting to come down a little bit. But I wanted to avoid getting to the point where you have to take that medication. But the point is that I thought I was the last candidate in the world for high blood pressure. And you never know. That's what they call the silent killer. Because if I had let this go and kept eating, and by the time I'm 45, I might have had a stroke or something.
Right.
So everybody needs to check it. It's very easy. You can check it for free at a grocery store. Just check it. And
those kits aren't that expensive either.
Yeah. I mean,
you can get one for what, $20, $30?
Yeah. I spent like $50 just to make sure I got a good one, because sometimes the home kits can be kind of iffy. So make sure you get a good one. But just do yourself a favor and check your blood pressure, because I saw that baby boomer number the other day where we're living to be 79 now, or 78. But that something like one in every two baby boomers has or going to have high blood pressure.
Off.
One in every two.
All right. Is it one of those deals, is the leading indicator of whether you will have high blood pressure, is it probably genetics even more than diet?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because my diet wasn't bad. I'm not a health food fanatic, but I don't eat fried stuff. I don't drink soft drinks.
I eat all that.
I don't eat red meat much. I'll have one or two hamburgers a year.
That's all I eat if it's deep fried.
But I do eat pizzas and Mexican food. So it's a balanced diet, I guess. But since it's in my family, it's in my history, then I think that's
probably the
overriding.
See, I'm in that high normal range, too, and I've always had lower blood pressure, and now it's getting higher.
You have in your family?
Yeah, I think my dirty dead dad has it.
He's still alive.
Oh. And is still living grave. He has high blood pressure. But I think that's the only one. All right, well, I'll get that checked out. I'm also going to start taking, I'm fearing the diabetes, because everyone's getting diabetes, so I think it's waterborne now. So I'm going to get a home diabetes kit, too.
Really?
Yeah.
They have
those?
For
the fun of it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to open up a doctor's office in my house. You know what I am going to do? And I called Fernando. You can attest to this, or I emailed you. I'm going to that Cooper Clinic, and I'm getting one of those full workups again.
He's in full panic wanting to know a phone number of a guy there.
I'm starting off 2006 by getting a full workup.
You ought to do it, too.
We ought to do the whole show out there again.
I know it. I had called, and I actually had an appointment scheduled out there for a couple weeks ago, and I had to cancel it because I had a root canal on the same day.
Life's a freaking mess.
I'm falling apart. But, yeah, I do want to go back out there again and have that whole thing done. Let's do that in the new year. Let's schedule that.
All right. I'm all in for this, because when you're dead, you can't make near as many jokes.
Well, you're right about that.
So
we can.
We need to stay alive. Yeah, all your friends make more jokes, but you can't make any more jokes. So that's important. All right. Thank you, Junior. And finally, just a quick lookout for Brian. This P1 says that if you watch television, you will notice that outside of that Rankin Bass Claymation Rudolph special, that they never will make references to Rudolph by name in other areas. They'll say, like, that deer with the red nose, or something like that. And he's wondering, is it because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is a copyrighted, trademarked thing?
Never noticed.
How can you copyright? I mean, I know that, okay, Rudolph was not part of the Christmas story until when? The 50s?
Probably.
We've only had Rudolph a short period of time,
yeah.
So it is copyrighted. But so you have to pay royalties every time you mention Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Pay royalties to Gene Autry or whoever it is wrote that song?
Well, all of these other Christmas specials like Charlie Brown and Santa Claus Coming to Town and Grinch, weren't those all... I mean, none of those would ever have a need to reference Rudolph.
Right.
And maybe some of those came around before Rudolph. So maybe he's looking into it a little too deeply.
I don't understand how you can just have one song and then all of a sudden it's become part of the Bible. Now Rudolph's in the Bible with Santa.
That's a good question. What year did Rudolph come about?
Another controversy is it Donner or Donder?
Donner, D-O-N-N-E-R.
See, that's the way I think, but then it's always in the original, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, it's Donder.
Oh, with a D.
Yeah, Donder.
Like Bob Stern would say it.
Yeah,
Donder. But what's it? And again, I'm not saying that it is his name or it's not his name. I mean, it could be his name. And okay. I'm not the one, you know, to sit here and say that I'm going to, you know, be able to know
which name
it is. But it's one of those situations. And again, I'm not saying that...
Well, you know what? I'll admit, I've always just assumed it's Donner. I've never seen it in print.
It's Donder in print in Twas the Night Before Christmas, and then everywhere else it seems to be Donner. So I don't know which one's correct, but I'd like to say the correct thing.
Did you get the link that somebody sent you about Rudolph, that cartoon?
Yeah, I posted it on GordonKeith.com. It's the mafioso Rudolph, correct? That's the one I have.
It was the one, if you Google Rudolph, go to Google Images and type in Rudolph and hit search, it's the second figure that
pops
up.
That's just the gay picture of Rudolph kind of standing up.
With a...
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Very disturbing.
But yeah, there's also another version of Rudolph that involves the mafia on GordonKeith.com. You can check that out. And there was a link that I refused to post this week that I really and truly did refuse to post. I sent it to you last night. Did you not watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. It's the darkest thing ever?
It's the darkest thing I've ever seen. And it's called The Passion of Benny Hill.
Mm.
And someone has taken the movie The Passion of the Christ and added sound effects.
I don't want to see it.
It's the darkest thing ever.
I don't want to see it because I'll go to hell.
Yes, you will.
I'll see you there.
No, you will not. I'm going to heaven. So that's now you're up to date in the world.
All right, thank you, Gordo. That's the corner.